The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning to you. It's a Monday. Shoot, if it's a holiday Monday and you weren't planning to wake up and you're not in your regular routine, I'm sorry for raising the volume. I'm not sorry for the music, though, because that's good stuff. And Roger Goodell, he really doesn't care. If it's awkward, actually, the more awkward, the better for Roger Goodell. He loves it. He really does eat it up. And he enjoys these international games. Not sure if you heard him say that they are determined to host a game in Berlin in future seasons. Although the last international game of the season was in Munich, Germany on Sunday morning. Well, Sunday morning, our time. And so we'll get to that game this hour. But yeah, that's it for the games overseas. Second half of the season, time to buckle up and get serious. Because here we are, week number 10. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Our Monday MVP poll is still up, even as we talk about this holiday Monday and what it means. It's about veterans. It's about taking care of those who served and sacrificed. So thank you to our veterans on this Monday, November 11th. I feel like it's a good time to hug a veteran. I'm going to have to find one to hug. I don't live near my family members who are veterans. We've got some friends who are veterans as well, but I'll reach out to them because we need them to know how much we appreciate them and that there is hope. I mentioned this last hour, but I think it's important to mention again, the suicide rate among veterans is far higher than the rest of our society, and that needs to stop. They need to know there's hope. They need to know that we've got their backs and we can offer help. And so maybe it changes on this Veterans Day. Maybe it changes in the years to come. But thank you from the bottom of my heart for doing what you do. It's After Hours on our Facebook page, also online at A-Law Radio. We do have that Monday MVP poll up and available for you. We're going to get to some of the big games from Sunday, including a strange one on Sunday night. Also, we still want to get to that Munich game that went into overtime. It's like we're throwing the German fans a bone with a game that goes down to the final play. And we haven't yet talked about the Saints. Here's what I need you to know. The Saints ended their seven-game slide, and they did it for a guy who's coaching his first ever game as an interim. So Darren Rizzi, never been a head coach before. He was a special teams coordinator who got elevated. The poor dude, he's not coach speak. He's quickly become one of my favorite guys to hear. And so this goes along with Dan Campbell, Mike Tomlin, one of my favorite guys to hear from after a game. And it's only been 1 week. You're going to understand when you hear Darren Rizzi tell you about how his day started. You don't want to miss it. It's going to go viral on this Monday. Trust me. 855-212-4227. And again, at A-Law Radio and on our Facebook page. Let's get to Sunday Night Football because this was going every which way but loose for the Detroit Lions, who had won six games in a row and had done it in large part because of an MVP-worthy first half by Jared Goff. I mean, we just talked about this last week. Who are your MVP frontrunners? And Jared Goff is right there along with guys like Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry. Well, I guess every guy's entitled to a blow-up game, but this is actually the worst blow-up game for Jared Goff since he got into the NFL. It wasn't one, not two, not three, not four, but five picks?
There's the snap to Jared, sets in the pocket, wants to throw, looks, throws deep downfield, wants J-Mo, that is up for grabs and picked off. Just can't make that throw. It's just up for grabs that time, and Bullock ran right under it for Houston. Wanted J-Mo, but it's just a jump ball.
I honestly didn't feel like I was playing all that bad, and I was seeing things well, I was throwing it well. Had some unfortunate things there early, but like I've been through a whole lot worse than that. I've been to the bottom, and mentally I've been to the bottom, and Some unlucky plays isn't going to throw me off my game.
First time he's had five picks in a game since he was at Cal. Since he was in college and the quarterback as a Cal Golden Bear. Now, one of them went off the hands of his receiver. Another one he throws into traffic. And it did get tipped, but he zings it into traffic. And there's a bunch of other bodies in there. So it gets bounced around, almost like a tip drill, for heaven's sakes. And then there are just a couple of other ones like that one, his fifth, that he just shouldn't have been throwing. Or if you're going to throw, you got to be a little more aggressive with him. So a couple of times where he aired it out and was off target. Five interceptions. Excuse me. And I get all choked up about it. And the Lions fall into a 23-7 hole against the Houston Texans. So at halftime, they're trailing by 16. Texans look fluid. They've got great rhythm. I liked what I saw because they had been struggling a little bit where they really had left a lot of points out there on the field. And because of that, they've been losing some close games. Well, in this one, it just completely changes in the second half. Now, credit the Lions defense. They were terrific in the second half. They do not give up a point, which meant that it was on the Texans defense, minus Will Anderson, to try to hold off the Lions once they found their footing. And that's really hard to do. Despite five interceptions, the Lions still had more to give.
Goff up under center, gives the single back. Jared takes, turns, throws right side, got a complete. Amon-Ra picks up a block to the five, yes. To the end zone. Touchdown, Detroit Lions. They are right back in this game.
Once again, Dan Miller on Lions Radio. Yeah, they definitely were. Amon-Ra catches his touchdown from Jared Goff to extend his streak. That's seven consecutive weeks with a receiving touchdown for him. And again, while the Texans are unable to do anything with their drives, they're unable to get the ball into the end zone or even through the uprights. Now, they do have a missed field goal in there. A couple of interceptions by C.J. Stroud. And those were kind of the answers to the Jared Goff picks in the second half. But one of them is in the end zone. So he throws a pick in the end zone. And that, just talk about putting a damper on things. It's so dejecting when you feel like you've got an opportunity and you come away with nothing. So the Amon-Ra touchdown brings the Lions within three. And then the next two drives, they are able to get close enough for their first-year kicker, Jake Bates, to attempt a field goal. So on their second-to-last, their penultimate possession, if you will, he has a career-high 58-yarder. Just worth noting on their last possession, too, they needed something to move them a little bit closer, and Amon-Ra hauls in an 11-yard catch. And so as much as Jared Goff looked out of sync, and I was listening to the Westwood One broadcast, Mike Golick, along with Ryan Radke, kept saying that he was off. For some reason, he was just off. He didn't look like himself. As much as that was the case, when they needed connections, when they needed to move the ball, not only did they stick to the run game, so even when they were behind, they stuck to David Montgomery and Jahmyr Gibbs, but also it's becoming very evident that when Jared Goff needs to move the chains or needs a big play, he goes to Amon-Ra. And yeah, sending their kicker right back out there to do his thing.
Bates, the first-year kicker, is set. Tells Fox he's ready to go. Here's the snap, ball down, the kick is on the way, end over end, it is good! Just inside the left upright, and the Lions win! The Lions steal one in Houston!
They certainly did that, snatching victory from the jaws or the jowls of defeat. And here's what I say about the Lions, and I say the same thing about the Chiefs all the time, which should tell you something, the fact that I can use these same types of hallmarks and labels and just points of emphasis with teams as they begin to build a winning program. And we know the Lions are that, but can they win the ultimate prize? Can they get to the Super Bowl? Can they win a championship? Well, part of that growth process is A, facing adversity, which they did in this game, and B, finding ways to win even when you're not playing your best ball. The Chiefs are still unbeaten, not because they blow teams out. The Lions have had a few blowouts. No, the Chiefs figure out ways to win. Sometimes it's atypical. Sometimes it's flat out UGLY. You ain't got no alibi. You're ugly. I mean, the Chiefs won on Sunday by blocking a kick. I mean, their defense holds the Broncos scoreless in the second half, and they block a field goal attempt with no time left on the clock. That's unconventional, but that's what the Chiefs do. If it's not offense, it's defense. If it's not defense, it's special teams. Well, here are the Lions, who need all of what they got from their defense in the second half, and then, of course, their special teams to their kicker coming up huge with a pair of field goals in the final 5 minutes that are over 50 yards. Although, to be fair, that's becoming more and more routine in the NFL. So Dan Campbell's Lions, off to their best start since, are you listening, 1954. They're sitting at 8-1 after this dub.
You know, that was a hard-fought game, and, you know, we had to fight our way back in there. And, you know, look, I'm proud of the guys. There's things that, obviously, we got to clean up, but, man, they just wouldn't go away. Our guys wouldn't go away.
Holy smokes. You know, that was a roller coaster of a game, and like I said, like a mental battle for me to know that I'm not to know that I'm not crazy. Like what I knew what I was doing, and I knew what I was seeing, and yeah, sure, maybe one or two of them, you know, I'd like to have back, but for the most part, you know, I was confident what I was seeing and where I was throwing it.
Find people in life who are your kind of crazy. It's one of my mottos, and I feel like Jared Goff, who does in fact say he's not crazy, and he's relatively vanilla compared to Dan Campbell, essentially. But Dan said to us last year, I swear to God, I'm not a lunatic. I think that was part of Hard Knocks, actually. I swear to God, I'm not a lunatic. And when in fact he is actually a lunatic, but in a good kind of way. So yeah, the Lions 8-1 for the first time since 1954. It's terrific. And when you can find ways to win that take all of you, take all of your team, and really have no business winning, that's when you know that you're getting closer to the ultimate prize, and you can potentially survive the rigors of not just the rest of the season when everybody's coming for you, but certainly the pressure cooker of the playoffs. As for the Texans, this is tough. They've dropped 3 of 4 now, and really in the second half, it was like the complete opposite. It was a role reversal, if you will, because CJ, he ends up with the 2 interceptions. First time in his career he's done that. They have 1 turnover in the end zone, which is brutal. 4 punts by the Texans offense, a missed field goal as well. And he's taking responsibility because that's what he does. But they've got to pull themselves out of this funk, because even though they're still leading the AFC South, they don't look much like a contender at this point.
I feel like this game was on me, you know, definitely. Got to make plays, got to make throws. Can't turn the ball over and when we're in scoring position. So, yeah, I blame this on me. You know, I got to be better in those moments. So, yeah, it's really just got to go down and score in the red zone. And our defense is getting the turnovers like they were. So, got to be able to, you know, reward them with points. And that's, you know, something we didn't do.
Yeah, the approach each week is to go win the game, no matter how it looks. You know, we don't set out to win an ugly game, but in this league, every game comes down to, you call that, final possession. So you have to find a way to gut those out and win. We haven't been on the winning side, you know, of those games, as, you know, Green Bay, New York, and now Detroit. So we didn't make the plays to win the game. Like, however you win, you got to find a way. And to play, to win games, you got to have guys have to step up and make plays, and that's not happening.
How about that from D'Amico Ryans? Guys have to step up and make plays, and that's not happening. I don't think he's saying it in a nasty way. I don't think he's trying to call his guys out. Just, hey, they are still a young team. We forget this because of their success last year. But they're a young team. They lost Nico Collins, and he should be back next week. They lost Stephon Diggs. He's not coming back. Joe Mixon was out for a time, though. He's been terrific when he's out there. And, yeah, teams figure you out. That's what happens when you've got defensive coordinators who make a ton of money. They figure you out. And so they're kind of flirting with disaster, and now they're on the wrong end of some of those close games. So the Texans do still have a two-game lead in the AFC South. As for the NFC North, well, the Lions have got the best record in the conference, actually. They're the only team that's sitting on 8 wins right now because the Commanders lost to the Steelers. We'll talk about the game on the back half of the show, or the hour, excuse me. So the Commanders lost to the Steelers, and the Packers, well, no, they're at 6 wins now. I was going to say they're off this weekend, which they are, but they were at 6 wins, which means we've got a new second place team in the NFC North. But you want to talk about ugly. So maybe Jared Goff and Sam Darnold can find some commiseration, right? Because misery loves company. Sam had a really rough game, too. His 3 interceptions late in the first quarter. Then his second one is in the end zone at the end of a 16-play drive. You hold the ball for 10 minutes, 16 plays, and you throw a pick in the end zone. That's brutal. And then a third interception on the goal line to start the second half. So they are trailing the Jaguars, right? They go 0-for-5 in the red zone. Again, you could look at the Lions offense, you could look at the Vikings offense, and think they have no business winning. Vikings are only able to pick up field goals. They're not able to do anything against the Jaguars, who have 2 wins. But they do use those field goals to take the lead in the second half. This is the part that's kind of crazy. The Vikings scored 12 points with more than 400 yards of offense. That's hard to do. But the turnovers, obviously, and not capitalizing on your trips into the red zone. They rushed for nearly 170 yards. Everything but the points, really. Everything but the touchdowns. And then the defense was amazing. The stingy Minnesota D allowing just 1 touchdown, and that comes in the first quarter. So the Jags never score after that first quarter. They forced a couple interceptions. Also, Trevor Lawrence wasn't playing, so it was Mac Jones, by the way, Patriots fans. Mac Jones getting his first start with the Jaguars, but he has 3 turnovers on Jacksonville's final 3 possessions. So yeah, if you're talking about good teams finding a way to win, the Vikings were awful and yet on offense, and yet they're able to seal the deal at the end with the D.
First and 10 from the Vikings 43-yard line. Mac Jones goes out of the shotgun. Travis Etienne to his left. The Vikings blitz. Mac on a very deep drop. He's going to throw it right. Nobody's there, with the exception of a Minnesota Viking who picked him off. Interception, Cam Bynum. And the Minnesota Vikings are going to improve to 7-2.
Paul Allen on Vikings radio. They're 7-2, but they win 12-7. Like, seriously, Jared Goff has 5 interceptions. The Chiefs are awful in the red zone. They can't capitalize on their opportunities. The Vikings, if they're playing almost any other team in the NFL, they probably lose this game, but that's what the NFL is. It's ebbs and flows. Who cares what it looks like? Just take your dub and get the heck out of Dodge. And that's what they do. Though, of course, Kevin O'Connell was asked about Sam Darnold.
That's why this position is so hard, because you're asking a guy to be aggressive, feet and eyes. And first and foremost, you got to unpack all the fundamentals and techniques. Where were your eyes? Where were your feet? Protection, you know, what did that look and feel like to you? Did you get sped up by something? Otherwise, continuing to. I thought there were some good examples of him checking the ball down, finding Aaron on one, finding the underneath coverage, you know, seeing that underneath coverage, get some depth and really try to put that lid over us.
You know, whenever you turn the ball over, it, especially during the course of a game, you have to have a, you know, next play mentality. Being able to understand what happened, and just moving on. It's as simple as that.
lot of people that are looking at Doug Peterson and that job in Jacksonville, and this is not going to help their case. I know that the Vikings only won by 5, but they ran 82 plays to Jacksonville's 43, so nearly double the number of plays. They held the ball for 24 minutes more than the Jaguars had the ball, so that's ball control there. And if not for the fact that they had the turnovers and the red zone issues, yeah, this could end up being 50-7. So it really was that dominating with the defense. And Doug Peterson, I don't know how long it's Mac Jones who's starting. Obviously, as a backup QB, you have to be preparing for these types of things. But the Jaguars now fall to 2-8. And I mean, I don't even know what you can say about it other than it feels like a day of reckoning is coming for Jacksonville, even though Shad Khan did give Doug his vote of confidence. And it was good to see Mac Jones out there again. He's from Jacksonville. But obviously, the way they ended with the 3 turnovers, that's tough. So Minnesota at 7-2, sitting right behind the Detroit Lions at 8-1. Those are two of the best teams in the NFC, certainly in the NFL. The Eagles are now on top of the NFC East. They're at 7-2. Jalen Hurts with 4 touchdowns on Sunday. So he's one of our candidates for one of our candidates for Monday MVP on this Monday, November 11th. You can find that online at A-Law Radio or on our Facebook page. So we still have a few things to get to, including, I'm telling you, don't want to miss Darren Rizzi, the new interim head coach for the New Orleans Saints, telling you about how his day started before he ever got to the football field. It's comedy. I feel like he was probably nervous as heck. First time doing a post-game press conference too, right? And he's telling us all kinds of things he does not need to tell us. Good morning to you. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Third and 5 for the Saints. Carr steps up and he's looking for the end zone. And he's looking for a catch, and that's Marquez Valdes-Scantling, and that is a touchdown. 40 yards. He had some coverage back there, but a perfect throw, and he did the last few yards and just separated himself, made his first catch last weekend, makes his first touchdown against the Falcons. So third and goal, under 4 minutes, second quarter, 10-7 New Orleans. Far out of the shotgun, looks to throw, does throw in the end zone, and it's caught! Marquez Valdes-Scantling! Touchdown number 2 beats A.J. Terrell. Wow!
Off the field, on the money, and after hours, it's time to talk football with Amy Lawrence.
What is the adage? It's not always about sports. A lot of times it's used in other walks of life. It's not how you start, it's how you finish. Well, in this particular case, the Atlanta Falcons neither started fast nor finished well. New Orleans did just enough, and after 7 losses in a row, they needed this win for their new interim head coach, Darren Rizzi, and for their locker room. Now, along the way, Bijan Robinson with a couple of touchdowns, so Atlanta was at least within striking distance, but the fourth quarter, it was a disaster all around. The Saints, they have 4 quick 3-and-outs. The Falcons end up with a 3rd missed field goal by Younghoe Koo. So it wasn't just Jake Moody who missed 3 field goal attempts on Sunday. It was also Koo. Cousins throws an interception. He gets picked off by Tyrann Mathieu. So yeah, this was not a fourth quarter that you would say was strong finishing material. The opposite of what we got from the Detroit Lions on Sunday night. Yeah, the Falcons, they think they have enough time late in this game. They're only trailing by 3. And Chase Young comes up with a huge play for the Saints. He has a sack that forces a 19-yard loss. And for that reason, the Falcons were limited in terms of their offense, or in terms of their options, I should say, in terms of how they were going to try to get into field goal range. So yeah, the Saints did just enough, but that's sometimes what you need, especially when you are scuffling for a win. So the Falcons fall to 6-4, and Raheem Morris was asked about his kicker.
Like I just said out in the locker room to that guy, I got all the confidence in the world in Younghoe. You know, like, he's one of the best kickers in this game. He's done it for us for a long time. He had an off day. You know, it happens a bunch of times, you know, like shoot or shoot. And he went out there and took his shots today and he didn't make them.
It's pro football, and I don't feel great about leaving it in the field goal team's hands. You know, I think it's important that we convert third down, stay on the field, score touchdowns in the red zone, you know, avoid the penalties that back us up in the red zone, and just execute down there so that we're scoring touchdowns. I've always felt that when you kick field goals, you tend to lose, and when you score touchdowns, you tend to win. And and so that's important, you know, where I kind of take my focus.
I had tweeted about Jake Moody just kind of being tongue-in-cheek, three strikes and you're out with a question mark. And then Falcons fans were responding to me, wait, it happened to Koo too. He's done this, Koo too. Koo as well, he's done the same thing. And so those field goals certainly come back to bite the Falcons. But obviously, as Kirk is pointing out, if you're leaving it on the foot of a kicker, there's a chance that could happen. If you get into an end zone, well, then you don't have to worry about it. You don't have to worry about whether or not the kicker has an off day. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. All right, for the Saints, they end up getting those two touchdowns from Marquez Valdez-Scantling, who's only been with them for a couple of weeks. So that was huge. Derek Carr finding that rhythm with him. But this is really about them coming together in the, I'm laughing because I know what's coming. Them rallying after Dennis Allen is fired and recognizing that they got to do something different. So Darren Rizzi is standing in front of the microphones and the press bank for the first time as an interim head coach. He's never done this before. I dare say he's done very few interviews as the special teams coordinator of the Saints this year. And yeah, he's going to tell us all about his day.
This is how my day started. I get down here to the stadium, get down here to Superdome. I go in the head coach's locker room, which, you know, I've never used before, right? So here I am early in the morning. I go to the bathroom, and this is how my day started. I clogged the toilet. And I'm like, this is going to be a crappy day, pun intended. And so we listen. I'm like, okay, this is not really a great start to the day. Here we go. And so, yeah, I'm not really feeling like a head coach of an NFL team right now. So, so I'm like, really? This is really how we're going to start my day?
And actually had that exclamation point at the start. You know, we don't do potty humor generally on this show because I feel like it's fairly sophomoric. He's the head coach. I can't wait to hear more. Apparently, at the end of the Saints' win, he also briefly lost feeling in his arm.
I yelled at Peyton Turner with 30 seconds left because he's celebrating before the game's over, so I screamed at him. And so he's spraying water, and I ripped his ass, quite frankly. So when the game was over, he wanted to get me back. So he came up to me, and I wasn't looking. He jacked me in the back, and I got a history of stingers. So my left arm went completely numb. Literally went completely numb. So I'm sure the video has me like this. I'm like, I'm looking at my thanks a lot, Peyton. So I'm fine. I just, I got a little C5, C6 going for years from the old, sound like the old guy, but I am. That's what happened. He gave me a stinger, for lack of a better phrase.
Apparently people noticed because he lost his balance and he stumbled into Turner just because he had that stinger and kind of lost feeling in his shoulder and his arm. But seriously, in those, 30 seconds of listening to Darren Rizzi, he's already my favorite. We need more of him before he gets too polished to give us the good stuff. Right, Ryan? So thanks to Ryan for finding this stuff. It's amazing. So now he already rivals Dan Campbell, who was going to bite kneecaps when he first got introduced. And while Mike Tomlin has a completely different vocabulary, Rizzi's talking about how he's old. He's ripping someone up. He's ripping his ass. Like, when was the last time you heard a coach stand in front of a microphone and talk about ripping a player's ass?
In a fun way, not even like a bad way.
No, that's amazing. And I never, ever, ever need to hear about him clogging up a toilet again. But just the fact that he equates that to, I'm clearly not head coaching material. Those two things don't go together. But could you imagine, like, Ryan, just put yourself in his shoes. Or let's say it's your first day on a new job anywhere. It's got to be your worst nightmare. You use the office toilet. In this case, it's the head coach's locker room. He's never been in there before. He says that. I've never been in there before. It's my first day on the job. I use the bathroom. I clog the toilet. And now I'm going to call for help on my first day. That's amazing. Tell me that's not Hall of Fame material.
Oh, 100% is.
It so is. I'm voting for it now. We haven't even gotten to our next Hall of Fame induction. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. I hope you're laughing as much as I am. It is a big deal, though. He gets his first win as an interim head coach.
Today doesn't happen without complete buy-in from the building. Listen, you guys have all reported about the changes and all that, and that's all well and good, but the buy-in and the execution, the preparation, I just told those guys, nothing substitutes good preparation.
Congratulations to Darren Rizzi. Can he please have the job now? Because I need to keep hearing from him. That's amazing. If that doesn't make you smile on this Monday morning, I'm not sure what will. Maybe Jim Harbaugh giving his quarterback a new name. We'll get to that. Or Drake May attempting to lead the New England press room in, well, I guess it wasn't New England, right? It was Chicago press room in a special clap, a special chant. Also did not work well. So we'll get to those. We'd like to give you some humor as we shove you forward into your Monday. Steelers Commanders was your choice for game of the week, so we'll get to how that one ended. Russell Wilson has given the Steelers offense new life, and so our Monday MVP candidates, at least the ones we chose, include Russell Wilson. Right now, he's neck and neck with Kyler Murray. They include Jalen Hurts and Marquez Valdez-Scantling, who is also right now, Derek Carr's favorite person on the planet, except for maybe Darren Rizzi. So you can check that poll out on our show Twix at Amy After Hours. It's up on our Facebook page as well. We're glad to have you with us. Good morning. Here's our latest sports update.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
First and goal with the ball at the 2-yard line. Russell Wilson will saunter up under center as Harris is the lone setback. Power to the left of his formation. Wilson gets a snap. Will give to Harris off the left side, and Najee Harris into the end zone for the Steelers at the 8:06 mark here in the third quarter. They break the huddle. Mike Williams comes to the left. Three receivers split to the right. Warren to the left of Wilson in the shotgun. Wilson settles back, raises the foot, gets the snap, back to pass, looking, going to float it up left for Williams, and Williams makes the grab in the end zone. What a throw! What a catch!
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
How about that? We've seen some wide receivers joining new teams, wearing new laundry, and immediately making an impact. Well, Mike Williams has not been with the Steelers very long. In fact, mere days, got traded from the Jets to the Steelers. And coming out of their bye, he is the one who hauls in the perfectly floated ball by Russell Wilson over the top in the end zone with about 2 minutes and 25 seconds left in the game against the Commanders. This one lived up to the billing, though it was kind of weird. It was first the Steelers with the momentum and jumping out to a lead, but then it was the Commanders scoring three consecutive drives in a row, Austin Eckler getting to the end zone a couple of times. But Najee Harris, I mean, he's been a great weapon for Russell Wilson. I know people want to say, this is Russ single-handedly turning the offense around. And I would agree with you. He's had a major impact. And Mike Tomlin told us over and over about his experience and the fact that he's been in pretty much every situation you can find yourself in the NFL. He's got that ability to see what's happening and to make the smart heads-up play. But Najee Harris is running, well, he's running really healthy right now, of course, which is huge, but also he's running with great energy and explosiveness and some of the best games that we've seen from Najee Harris. So that's a big piece of it. And yeah, they needed another receiver that could help to stretch the field. And that's what Mike Williams does. That's his MO. And in the last couple of minutes, Washington had multiple possessions trailing by a point, but they get stopped short on fourth down. Minka Fitzpatrick with this heads-up tackle that he does not allow Zach Ertz to kind of unfold and stretch out and reach the ball behind him because he was maybe a half a foot away from the first down line. Instead, Finca, it's like a celebrity marriage. It's what happens on Sunday nights into Monday mornings. Ryan, it's okay. You can laugh at me. I'm not as funny as Darren Rizzi, but Finca Fitzpatrick, Minka folds him up and doesn't allow him to reach back. So it was an incredible veteran tackle on Zach Ertz. And then this is something you just don't see very often, do you? Pittsburgh has got a fourth and one. They don't want to give the ball back to Washington. How often in games do we see teams line up and pretend they're going to snap the ball on fourth and one, but they're really only trying with a hard snap count or a different snap count to get the other team to jump off sides? So I'm watching them line up for the fourth and one, and I'm thinking, well, this is not going to work because the only thing you tell your team, Dan Quinn, is don't freaking jump off sides. Wait, you wait, you wait. And yet it worked. One of the first real hard or sharp notes from Russell Wilson gets a neutral zone infraction, and the place just goes crazy. Amazing how many terrific towels there were in Landover, Maryland. And by amazing, I was surprised. I thought the Commanders would have the run of the place there. So yeah, pretty incredible the way that the Commanders jumped to end the game, but only because it worked, right? But that's not obviously why they win. So it is kind of funny, though, to think about Mike Tomlin and what happens if the Commanders don't jump. Would he go for it?
We'll never know, will we? You know I'm a degenerate.
I mean, we've got great coaching audio on this edition of the show. Also, you rarely hear Mike Tomlin laugh. He doesn't do a whole lot of laughing in season because he says we seek no comfort. We make no excuses. We seek no comfort. So he's all business all the time. But for Russell Wilson, this was a huge deal. Third game. I know they had the bye in the middle there, but their points are up. Their offensive yardage is up. Just the momentum and the rhythm and the ability of the offense to extend plays. All of that is up.
You got to love clutch moments. You know, when you get guys that can make plays and do things for you. First of all, Big Mike over there. Just traded for him. You know, he's a tremendous football player. We got GP on the right, Van on the right. Those guys, Pat showed up in big ways. I mean, these guys just stepped up in key moments and just another great moment. You know, when you're playing a game, it's a collection of, 75 plays, and you want to see how many great moments you can have. And when we had that one in the key part of the game, obviously.
Speaking of GP, as he refers to George Pickens, if you guys have not seen his first quarter touchdown catch, kind of gets lost a little bit because it was so early in a game that went down to the wire. But he is in the end zone. He creates separation from his defender. Then he twists his body in midair. So he's facing back toward the ball that's in flight, catches it. It, with a diving motion as he's falling down to the ground. So he's twisting and he's laying out. I'm doing it here in studio. This is why you hear me like walking away from the mic. He's laying out and he's able to haul that in and control it even as it hits the ground. We did share that video. In fact, there's a really cool perspective from behind the end zone that producer Ryan found. So that's on our show Twix at Amy After Hours. So check that out. Yes, Steelers moved to 7-2. Commanders they're still great. They've got to go through adversity. I mean, they're early in their building process, and yet they've exceeded expectations. They're 7-3, though for the moment are a half game out of first place in the NFC East. Sadly, we sent the basement of the NFC East, and by we, I mean the NFL, American football. We sent the basement of the NFC East and the basement of the NFC South to Munich, Germany for the very last game internationally in this 2024 season. Carolina squandered a 10-0 lead at the half in Germany. But Chuba Hubbard just got that big contract. He goes in for a touchdown in the third quarter. In fact, the team ends up with nearly 200 yards rushing against the Giants, which is kind of crazy. Now, Daniel Jones puts them in position. He has a touchdown and then leads them to a field goal to force overtime. Oy, can you imagine the poor German fans. First play of overtime ends up with a rut-row.
Jones out of the shotgun. On the delay, Tracy hitting the backfield. Lost the football. And the Panthers say they have it. And they do. Josie Jewell recovered it. It looked like Trevin Wallace knocked it loose.
That's the Panthers radio network. Yeah, poor Tyrone Tracy. He fumbles the very first carry in overtime, and he was obviously just so disappointed, so upset at himself. And it's really, at that point, a short field goal for Carolina to get the win. As you hear on the Panthers radio network, that those two significant moments in getting the fumble in OT, but also hitting the game winner, which we'll skip for now. But this is Bryce Young back on the field, leading them to not just to lead, but leading them to touchdown drives when they had to have it, when they have to have the points. And you could see, finally, with Dave Canales and the investment they're making in him, that he is actually improving. You can start to see where it's working in his brain now.
Great. I'm blessed, for sure. All glory to God. I'm super happy for this team, for my teammates, for everyone involved. And, you know, it's great. Again, it's two wins right now. We had these 24 hours. We're going to enjoy it. But, you know, obviously, stuff to clean up, stuff to build off of. But we'll worry about that, you know, when the time's appropriate.
You know, I just love that we're building off of weeks, and that's been the goal. Can we improve from the week before? We saw great improvement in the run game again from both sides, which was huge. We got to clean up the penalties. That's something that we'll attack and talk about, you know, with our guys, because that really did give them some more opportunities. But, you know, to me, it's about that weekly improvement. It's about just setting our trajectory where we can just have that mental discipline to come back every Monday, correct it, attack it on Wednesday, and see the improvement.
See, the Carolina Panthers are no longer the worst team in the NFL. They've got three wins, along with the Saints in their own division, along with the, are you ready for this? The New England Patriots, who are actually, I think, I don't want to say happy about the three wins, but will take every win they get this season. Drake May, he was so thrilled with the defense the Patriots played in sacking Caleb Williams 9 times and limiting the Bears that he tried to get the Chicago press room to join him in a special moment.
Oh, phones down, notepads down real quick. Just clap it up for the defense, man. Clap it up, clap it up. Somebody else clap up. There we go. Appreciate you. There we go.
Oh, that's not awkward at all. Yes, the Patriots are sitting on 3 wins, as are the New York Jets. And can I tell you something? I had this genius idea to go and look at where the Jets were a year ago through week 10 with Zach Wilson as their quarterback. They were 4-5. So with Aaron Rodgers healthy and every tool that he could possibly ask for around him, they're 3-7. Last year with Zach Wilson and Robert Saleh, they were 4-5. How about that? I promised you some funny Jim Harbaugh. He's got a new name for his quarterback, Justin Herbert.
Just, I'm changing his name to Beast. He's Beast Herbert. half man, half beast.
Oh, no.
he made the two biggest plays of the game. You know, the fourth down, touchdown run that he made. I mean, I don't know how many people we blocked, you know, or who actually got a block and who didn't, but there was a lot of unblocked guys, and he just went beast mode and got that ball in the end zone.
Beast mode. Oh, but nothing beats Darren Rizzi.
This time my day started, I clogged the toilet. And I'm like, this is going to be a crappy day, pun intended. Yeah, I'm not really feeling like a head coach of an NFL team right now. So he's spraying water, and I ripped his ass, quite frankly. Sound like the old guy, but I am.
Welcome to the NFL. Head coaching ranks Darren Rizzi. Between you and Jim Harbaugh, it's a hoot. All right, we'll talk to you tonight. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Boom!
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.